Would you speak to us through these words now, I ask, in Jesus' name.
Please be seated.
There was a nun who was working for a home health agency. She was dressed in her habit. She was making her rounds in her car when her car ran out of gas. So she got out of her car and walked to the gas station she saw up ahead of her and asked the attendant for a gas can so she could get a little gas to put in her car so she could make it back to the gas station. Well, he regrettably informed her that he had loaned out his gas can, but if she'd like to wait, perhaps it will be back in a little while. But she had an appointment she had to go to, and so she went back to her car, and being the resourceful nun that she was, she saw in the back seat that she had a bedpan. And so she got the bedpan out and took it back to the gas station, filled it up with gas, and went back to her car. And as she was pouring gas from the bedpan into the gas tank, two guys walked by, and they had with wide eyes, one guy said to the other, "Man, that's what I call faith." Well, I'm going to talk about faith today. And certainly faith is something that everyone has. Buddhists, for example, believe that you can gain enlightenment by following the eightfold path that they set forth. Muslims believe in following the five pillars of Islam. Christians believe in Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, the one who died for our sins and rose again so that we might have a way to heaven. All of us are convinced that we're correct. All of us believe we're truly, and we base our lives on that. However, it's just the same for all of us, really, is that the fact that it's all based on faith. We have no absolute proof these things are true. Now, this might surprise you, but atheists live by faith as well. Atheists, for example, live by the belief that there's no creator, no higher moral law, no divine judgment, and no afterlife. And as a result of that, many people in the world believe that denying God goes against the evidence that we do have, as well as human experience, and therefore requires an even higher degree of faith. So everyone lives by some kind of faith. Faith is really defined as the belief in actions that are based on something they consider trustworthy, even though they can't fully prove it to be true, and usually their beliefs run pretty deep. So faith really is not just a belief. For example, I can believe that this pulpit will hold me up when I come into it. But unless I actually enter into this pulpit, I'm not exercising faith. I'm only exercising belief. Belief is really the step before faith. And so by exercising faith, you take a step of faith, you do something with your belief. There's an old story of a farm community in Nebraska that was going through a terrible drought. Their crops were wilting under the hot sun. The people were wilting as well. It's said in the story that even atheists were praying for rain. And so the Ministerial Alliance got together and they decided they were going to really pray and ask the Lord to help send more rain. And they wanted to get the whole community together. So they sent out word to everybody in the community to gather an article of faith that was important to them and come to the county fairgrounds. And so they were all blessed to see so many people coming to the fairgrounds to pray with their articles of faith. Some had crosses, some had Bibles, some had rosary beads, some had candles. And so the ministers began to preach and to teach people and to pray and began to sing songs of worship, have times of silence. And after a long period of that, suddenly, miraculously, a gentle rain began to fall. And people began to rejoice, they began to give thanks, they began to just be so grateful for what had happened. Many of them were holding up their objects of faith in thanksgiving for the rain that had come. The ministers on the platform looked out into the crowd and they noticed that there was one item of faith that was different from all the others. A 9-year-old boy had brought an umbrella. He was the only one, I guess, that believed that it was really going to happen after they prayed. So faith really is something that is not just something we believe in, it's something we take action on. Turn, if you will, to our second lesson from the book of Hebrews today, and it's on page 1873 in the Pew Bibles. And chapter 11 really is called the Great Faith Chapter in the Bible, because it outlines and describes the faith of many of the Old Testament patriarchs. And certainly, chapter 11, verse 1, begins by describing what faith is. And it says this, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see." I like what the Amplified Bible says. It says, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being proof of the things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." The Living Bible puts it this way. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. Now look at verse 3 in our reading today from Hebrews 11. It says, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible." So by faith we recognize that God created the heavens and the earth, that everything around us has come about as a result of the design of God. And by faith we understand that God is behind all of creation. The writer goes on to describe the faith of many of the great Old Testament patriarchs. But look down to verse 13 and 14. It says, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive what was promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth." Many people wonder, how are the Old Testament people saved? How do they go to heaven? And the answer is found right here in Hebrews chapter 11. They go to heaven by virtue of their faith. They all had faith in God's plan of salvation. And that plan of salvation was the coming of the Messiah. None of them ever saw the Messiah in person, but they longed for and they looked forward to the day when the Messiah would come. So that faith in the coming Messiah was that which saved them. And so the Old Testament saints were looking forward to the eventual arrival of the Messiah that we recognize as Jesus Christ. Now I want to talk about two different meanings of faith. One is, meaning of faith really has to do with content of belief. When we say the Nicene Creed, for example, we say, "Let us confess our faith," in the words of the Nicene Creed. And so faith really is the specific doctrinal and moral teaching of Christianity. In Jude verse 3, Jude writes these words. He says, I urge you earnestly to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. So he's describing a set of doctrines and beliefs and morals that God has given to us for us to believe. And so he urges Christians to earnestly contend for those things. Sincerity of personal belief and emotional experience or going through some sort of spiritual ecstasy is really not what it's all about. We have to believe correctly. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We shouldn't be surprised or offended by this insistence on correctness. After all, you wouldn't want your doctor simply to be sincere but not correct. You would want him to be correct as well as sincere. At the same time, I like what former Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple, said one time. He said, "Faith is not the holding of correct doctrine, but personal fellowship with the living God. Doctrine is of an importance too great to be exaggerated, but its place is secondary, not primary. I do not believe in any creed, but I use certain creeds to express, to conserve, and to deepen my belief in God." End quote. More often when we use the word faith, we're talking about trust. We're talking about trust in God. We may not always know the details of the present or what's going to happen in the future, but if we trust God, we know it is all going to work out well. in the end. The old adage goes like this: we may not know what the future holds, but we know the one who holds the future. For example, we are to trust God and to have faith in the area of healing. It's not always necessary to believe that a specific thing will happen in order for it to happen. There's a dangerous twisting of the concept of faith in some parts of the Christian church today. According to this teaching, a person must have 100% certainty, with no doubt whatever, that a specific thing will happen. For example, if you go to our prayer ministers after the service up the front, then this teaching says that you have to come with 100% certainty that you're going to be healed. And if you don't, then there's a good likelihood that you're not going to be healed. This is a dangerous and incorrect teaching. First, many of the people that Jesus healed, we don't have any indication of them having any kind of faith. For example, one man was lowered through a hole in the roof by another group of men who did have faith. And so it seemed like he was healed by the faith of those who brought him to Jesus. And Michael Boggin, the once Bishop of Chester, England, puts it, it's not necessary to have great faith in God. What is necessary is to have faith in God, who is great. Sometimes all we can muster is a cry. I don't know if you will act, or if you do, how you will act, or when you will act, but I'm asking you to help me, O God. I'll let you go to work now, and I'm going to let you have your way with me. Canon Mark Pearson said it is but Christian healing. Often all God needs is our letting Him, even though we may be clouded with uncertainties. The greatest faith statement anyone can make is not a statement of cocksureness, but one of, I trust you with the details of my life. Have your way, O God. End quote. But if 100% certainty is not what is required, then what is required of us as Christians? Well, I believe what's required of us as Christians is to believe that God has the power, the love, and the inclination to help us in whatever way and whatever time frame He chooses to do that. Otherwise, there will be not a personal investment in prayer, in listening to God, in doing our part as we ask Him to do His, and in cooperating with Him as He remolds us into His image. The apostles of Jesus asked Jesus, increase our faith. The father of the demoniac boy came to Jesus and he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. If you want your faith to grow, perhaps the first thing we might want to do is to pray. Ask God. James says you don't have because you don't ask. We might start out by asking God, Lord, would you increase our faith, my faith? Would you help me to grow in my faith? But there are some other things that we can do as well to help us to grow in our faith. First thing to do is to study Scripture. Because in Scripture we really find that not only do we find the doctrines and the beliefs that we are to have as Christians, but we also see evidence of God working throughout history. We see God touching the lives of people throughout the centuries, and we see that He can be trusted. Paul says in Romans that faith comes by hearing the word that is from God. So study Scripture to increase your faith. Secondly, read church history. There are examples of God working throughout church history in the lives of Christians. We see how He has touched many lives throughout history. And certainly, reading Christian biographies can be a great help as well, because we see God specifically working in the lives of certain people in that way. Third, hear the testimonies of others who are alive today, others who are maybe alive in the recent past. And the internet can be a great wealth of such testimonies. I remember hearing the testimony, actually in person, of an Episcopal priest by the name of Dennis Bennett. And he was talking about how he had been converted in his faith in Christ and how he had been filled with the Holy Spirit and how that transformed his life. And as he gave his testimony, I felt faith rising in my life that I could receive that as well. And eventually that happened. So it's important to hear the testimonies of what God is doing in the lives of people today. And fourth, review the evidence of God working in your own life. I used to keep a journal in which I would write down prayer requests. I'd write down what I felt like God was saying to me. I would write down ways in which God had worked in my life and how He had miraculously worked in the lives of others and that sort of thing. And sometimes I'll go back and I'll read that which I had written many, many years ago. And that helps to boost and inspire my faith to a higher level. So think about what God has done in your life and revisit those things from time to time. All of these things can be helpful in terms of increasing our faith. But I want to say a prayer for us today, maybe asking God to increase our faith as we begin this whole process of seeking to grow in our faith in Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, as we recall the steadfast faith and hope in God that so many of the great cloud of witnesses displayed in Hebrews chapter 11 and elsewhere, we pray that we too may follow their example and place our entire faith in You. May we develop an ever-deepening trust in You, knowing that Your Word is faithful and true. May we be nourished by the Word of God day by day and be refreshed with rivers of living water that stream into our hearts from above, so that whatsoever we do will be pleasing to the Lord and glorifying His name. Thank You that in Christ we have been forgiven all of our sins and delivered from the power of sin in our lives, and may pass on a trust in the Lord Jesus to our children and children's children, or to any children over which we may have influence, so that in the next generations a living trust in God may be their witness to the world, and faith in His Word may be a testimony that all will also pass on to their children. Keep us standing firm in the truth of God's Word that has been delivered to us by the Father in heaven, once delivered to all the saints, and keep us steadfast and true to all that we have learned of Your grace and mercy, so that our lives may demonstrate an ever-deepening love for You until that glorious day when we are taken to be with You in heaven, and we will be known as we are known. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.